engine running. Liftoff. We have a liftoff.
Hello and welcome everyone to Truth Beer and Podsequences.
Woo!
Woo! Yay! So this is a podcast where my co-host and I listen to and watch all the Cincinnati-based craft beer media from the previous week, and we get together at a podcast host, and today we are back at Higher Gravity Summit Park. Thank you, Higher Gravity, for being a gracious podcast host. We got producer queued up and ready.
Yep.
And let's see. What we do is we recap all the Cincinnati-based podcasts and media and hope that there aren't too many consequences from the hosts of the other craft beer media. That being said, my name is Marco. I am a taproom manager here locally, and I brewed beer for 8 years, something like that, here commercially. And that other voice you heard belongs to the best co-host in Podcastlandia.
I am Julia, and this is a public service announcement to Blake. Do not go to the Walmart in Dayton until they bring Joey back.
I know.
Or at least if you go, park by the doors in the light.
You have to park by the doors in the light.
Very dangerous otherwise.
Yeah.
Yes.
All that being said, the thoughts and opinions on this podcast are ours and ours alone. They do not reflect any entity which we may be affiliated with, such as our full-time jobs or Higher Gravity or our part-time jobs or the job we have after that, whatever it is.
We got stuff to pay for.
All that stuff is not a reflection on any of that.
No.
Also, no craft beer podcast would be a good craft beer podcast if you weren't having beverages of some sort. And today we are. We are having craft beer.
Absolutely.
We switch it up from time to time. We'll have spirits. We'll have non-alcoholic products. You know, whatever it is, we will partake. But today we are having craft beer. Julia.
Yes.
What you drinking?
I am enjoying, if I cannot stumble over my words, Cappy Snacks from Urban Artifact.
Excellent.
Every time I have it, I get not mad, but it's like, this should not be as good as it is.
All right.
It's just as bumping as this music just got.
It was a little bit low.
It was a little low.
When we were doing Cincy Beer Events, it was a little bit low.
Episode.
Our calendar episode.
Yeah.
By the way, everyone go and follow Cincy Beer Events.
Yes. We tell you all about the beer events happening in and around the Cincinnati area. Marco, what are you drinking? It looks delicious.
I am having the Hunter of Head from Fatheads.
Excellent.
So, yeah.
Excellent. New Head brewery Hunter. Here in distribution?
I bet... Yeah.
Newer-ish. All right.
They got a future, I can tell, by
all
this
right.
beer.
I think just based on their logo, that's enough for me to say that they have a future in Cincinnati as being on the shelves with a permanent presence.
Yeah.
Yep.
That's good. It's tasty.
Good. What? And it's clear.
Holy mafuck. It's been a long time since we got a holy mofuck.
Speaking of recaps, let's make sure that we're on the same page with what we're going to talk about.
All right.
Going to do a quick shout out when we start the recaps of Beers and Beards, talking about for 2 minutes Mad Trees rounding third.
And if you haven't this month, go and watch all the content from Adam Makes Beer.
100%. He is a wonderful unaware sponsor of our show. And
underwear sponsor.
Unaware.
Oh, okay. I was like, did we get underwear?
With Adam's face on.
Oh, God.
No,
I don't know if I'd be allowed to wear that.
He has no idea.
Why is this on your butt?
He has no idea that he's sponsoring Truth Beer Pod, but you know what?
We should make underwear with Adam Makes Beer.
No, we really shouldn't.
You don't think so?
No, I don't.
You're right,
it's
a bad idea.
I think it's a bad idea.
Yeah.
For once, I think that something is a bad idea and we shouldn't do it.
Well, it would be on the back, not the front.
It doesn't matter.
Okay.
No. We also have an episode of Bruce Skye's Barstool Perspective to talk about.
Yeah, I watched
about.
It twice.
Twice?
Yeah.
Damn. That's dedication.
I watched it twice, yeah.
Nice. All right. And then we have last night's The Weekly Pint.
I was there.
I was there, too.
Yep.
It was as chaotic as you would expect.
Where were the rest of you is what I want to know.
Probably in bed. I was pretty close to telling Josh, like, hey, you're going to have to run this ship if he goes live because... It's getting late.
Yeah, it was late.
Late, but
it was late.
But I held on. And it was fine. It was great. I'm glad that I was there and was able to participate. But we will talk about that later. I figure we'll just kind of go in that same order. Kind of quick shout out to Beers and Beers. Beers and Beards. However you say that, the words, they always sound the same.
I thought it was Beards and Beers.
I thought it was the Mustachioed Crew.
That's right.
I mean, God knows who they are or in what order you say the words that make up their podcast name. Take it as you will. Just make up your own name for their show. How about that?
Okay.
All right. Huge shout out to them. This was their 150th episode.
Congratulations.
Title of this episode was Mad Tree Rounding Third, and they talked about rounding, well, David specifically talked about rounding third for about 2 minutes. So there wasn't a ton there, which is why we really don't do full recaps of their shows, because the beers that they talk about when they do talk about Cincinnati craft beer, it's typically just a very brief mention of it. It's nothing that takes up a half or even a quarter of their roughly hour-ish long episodes. But we do want to give them a shout-out. David's from Cincinnati. His co-host Gary is from Southern Tucky. But it is worth, you know, it is a fun show. I always enjoy listening to it. It just doesn't contain as much Cincinnati beer talk as would you know, warrant multiple minutes from us. But a couple of the things that they did talk about were March Madness, David's trip to Jamaica, Cold Toddies, Pappy Van Winkle, the man's 150th birthday, and Chili Gate. Apparently it's a big deal here in Cincinnati. I don't really care.
That's so dumb.
Yeah. Yeah, you know. There are some people that are very upset or very ecstatic about the changes. I'm just kind of like, okay, I don't know, whatever.
Yeah.
Whatever. Yeah. Is what it is.
Coke and a smile and shut the fuck up.
About 38 minutes in is when David talks about baseball beers and talks about Mad Tree's Rounding Third. He kind of describes the beer, says how he likes it, how he's had other baseball-themed beers from Cincinnati in the past, which we are still trying to work out the logistics of doing our baseball beer bracket.
It's going
to
happen.
It is going to happen. We just have to figure out how we're going to make it happen. Because Higher Gravity doesn't have all of the local baseball beers
right
now. And, yeah, we're trying to figure it out. It is going to happen, but just not as early as we were hoping. Although, I don't know. It hasn't even been opening day yet when we're recording.
Yeah, it's not opening day yet.
So we still have some time. And then kind of some breaking news from Gary and David. Ohio is getting a bourbon trail in May. Ish.
Yeah.
Gotta add that ish to it whenever you talk about stuff like that.
Yeah.
So that could be a lot of fun. That could be something really neat to check out.
It's not a complete comprehensive list, but yeah, I did see the list and the announcement.
Yeah. Nice. That's all that I wanted to touch on for this episode of Beers and Beards, mostly to congratulate them on 150 episodes of their podcast. For us, this is, as we're recording this, episode 139, so we're getting up there.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
So congratulations to them, and I'm looking forward to another 150. It's going to be great.
It's going to be awesome.
Awesome. Would you like to move on to the Weekly Pint or Barstool Perspective or whatever they're calling themselves this week?
Let's go to the Weekly Pint.
Episode 207, Let There Be Booze. Once again, chaos reigns supreme. It was a super late start because children, basically.
Yeah.
Although, you know, he always blames his kids for the chaos. Exactly. Every week. Really?
Yeah.
There's got to be something else going on. I think that he has befriended a family of raccoons that live above his back porch's, the overhang. It's not an awning, but like the, whatever, I'm just the overhang for his back porch. Family of raccoons have, you know, made a home in the corner. And I think he's out there at night when it gets dark, because that's when they come out, and he's feeding them peanuts and popcorn, and all of a sudden he's like, oh shit, it's quarter till 10. I've got to do the Weekly Pint.
He's feeding them boiled peanuts.
Yeah. Super cool thing about this episode of the Weekly Pint. Gnome decided not to have us pick a beer for him because we keep fucking that up.
Right.
We never pick the beer that he wants to drink, which we've told him, like, to his face. We give you two numbers. We don't see the beer fridge. Just pick out whatever the hell you want. We're not going to know the difference.
Yeah, we wouldn't know.
But he wants, like, to have that trust with his viewers. And he doesn't want to make that up. And I'm like, only he would know. I know. He would know he's lying to us. So I guess I can appreciate that. But at the same time, that he can't be mad at us that we're not doing the numbers right, because there are too many people that don't watch or listen to all the episodes.
Well, the other thing
in a
is too, like the timing of when he looks at the chat has a lot to do with it.
Sometimes he misses like the
like
some of the chats, which, you know, it's fine. Yeah. It is what it is.
Not okay.
So this week, what he did was a crowdsourced cocktail.
Yes.
Freaking love this idea. I think it is absolutely amazing.
It was a good idea.
Yeah. Yeah, Mark, you want to kind of break down what exactly he did?
So he had a couple of index cards, and he wrote down, he had three per category, basically. And the categories were spirit,
citrus, and a sweet.
And a sweet. And then so from there, you basically were able to call a number and say whatever, you know, whatever was going to come out was going to be what he made.
Right, was what he mixed in.
And
so,
that's
you
what
know,
happened.
Yeah, first we picked a spirit.
Tequila.
Then we picked a citrus. Grapefruit. And then we picked a sweet, which I don't know why he had cotton candy down there, but I mean, again, kids.
Yeah.
Put them all in a shaker, did the little shake it up. He put ice in it. You know, you can't have, you know, a non-chill cocktail.
Right.
He didn't do the shaker grin that he has said in episodes of, was it either Drinking with the Gnome?
I think it was Drinking with the Gnome.
Or a vlog. Okay, where it was a video that he's like, and when you shake your cocktail... You have to grin. You have to smile real big like this.
Yeah, it's a big-ass grin.
And he didn't do that. So I was kind of worried the cocktail wasn't going to turn out. But
yeah,
he said, you know what? This is absolutely delicious, but I'm still going to add a little bit of something else to it to kind of fix the mess that we made for him.
Yep.
But props to him for, like, somewhat trusting us. Like, he kind of had...
It was good.
He had a limited number of different things. Like, again, he had... only three spirits, only three citrus, only three sweet. So he kind of picked things that he thought, no matter what combination we get with this, it should be okay.
Mm-hmm.
And apparently it was.
According to him, it turned out all right.
Yeah, absolutely. It was a beautiful looking cocktail, which Josh pointed out in the chat. Dip it, Josh. I found out that there is a golden rule to cocktails that if you use this ratio, typically it will always turn out pretty daggone good.
Yeah.
It's the 3-2-1 ratio, 3 parts booze, 2 parts of bitter or citrus, and 1 part sweet. From there, he moved on to some news happening in and around the Cincinnati area. Brewing Company.
Niche.
The company with a platypus, not a capybara, but a platypus.
Yeah.
In their logo.
Niche.
Very niche. This is not a new brewery. This is a new co-packaging / contract beverage creator, which is fine. It is supporting one of our local breweries who is behind the Niche Beverage Company name.
Yes.
No, I think that it's going to be really interesting to see what comes out of there and what out of there is going to be available locally, which I know is a lot of times not the case just because it is produced or packaged
right.
in one city, one state. It doesn't mean that it sees any market share at all in that city or
right.
state. So you never know.
Just so you never know.
Kind of jumping forward a little bit to the labels, which was what the episode kind of ended on. We had a whole bunch of labels, label approvals that Gnome found from the TTB. And there were a few from Niche Beverage Company. They sound very interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Adult Capri Suns,
mm-hmm.
14-16%.
Yep.
Boysenberry and Bumbleberry and all the different kinds of berries, Loganberries and
Gooseberries,
Snozzberries.
Yeah.
Also talked about Willow Run, which is moving in or going to be opening up across from the Aronoff Center downtown. They are a custom bourbon blendery.
Yeah.
Which means...
A blendery.
Yes. It's a blender. It's like a giant Vitamix where you walk up and you... press a couple buttons on a kiosk, or probably someone does it for you who works there, I would guess. I have no idea.
No idea.
But it uses the magic of technology, mm-hmm. some wizardry, and a little bit of smoke and mirrors to where you tell it the kind of the taste profile you want in your bourbon, whiskey, whatever the proper terminology is
for this type of drink. It's like the soda machine.
Yeah.
Where you walk up and you just... You know,
make the suicides, you just do a little bit of everything, or like, ooh, I want like a little stream of this and this and this. Is that what you were?
Yeah, it's where you cross the streams.
But you should
you can,
never
you,
cross
you
the
do,
streams.
You do here, though.
But
you
here you
cross
do. Here
the
so
streams.
Fun. Yeah, yeah.
So where you get it blended.
Yes.
Blended.
Blended to whatever you want it to taste like for you. You can get it by the glass, by the sample, by the bottle. So you can get a bottle of your own custom blended. Will it be bourbon? Will it be whiskey? Does it really even matter anymore? Some say yes. I say just drink it and enjoy it.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then the conversation point came up because of Willow Creek and making these blended bourbons, because they're not the first place to do this. Brain Brew in Kentucky, Lexington?
Sure.
Somewhere in just below the Cincinnati line in Kentucky. There's Brain Brew that does this blended bourbons, these blended whiskeys, this custom stuff that you can make your own kind of white label spirits out of. Gnome then brought up the question, if this is happening with spirits, will that eventually happen with craft beer, to where you go into, would it be a brewery or would it be, you know, more of a bar, taproom kind of thing, to where you say, you know what, I want a dark beer that has oak barrel flavor to it with Snickers and Cap'n Crunch variant flavors, and magically you get this personalized, crafted beer based on exactly what you want.
So...
could that happen? You know what I mean?
Like bottle shops and some breweries are already blending some of their beers at the tap.
This is true. This is true.
You know, they may not tell you, or they may straight up come out and say, hey, if you mix Cappy Snacks with Fretboard Light, then you end up with something, you know, light
right.
or something, you know. But so some of that is already happening.
Oh, sure, sure.
But to the degree of saying, come on in, blend everything you want. Like, I don't know. It's
right,
strange.
Will we ever get to where you could have an unlimited option of what flavor profile do I want today? Not just something like what you were saying of a different flavor profile based off of what their current offerings are. Because right now, let's just say higher gravity. I'm sure that if we said, hey, can you mix 30% of number 3 with 60% of number 8 and then throw in the remaining as number 20.
Yeah, and give me a splash of root beer on top.
Right, they'd probably look at you a little fine, but be like, okay, and then they would have to try to figure out how the hell to charge us for that.
Yeah.
But I think what the thought was from the Gnome side is not just that, not just based off of the tap listing offerings, but they'll be kind of like the SodaStream thing where you can just pick what little Mio squirt of flavoring
right.
do you want to have a legit custom, a little of a custom experience there. And then he ended on, is the future contract brands and not breweries? And what he meant by that is, if you have a place that instead of setting up a brick and mortar and buying their own or renting or accessing their own way of brewing their own beverages or making or distilling their own beverages, they start by contract brewing. They set up their own brand name, and then they just send the recipes that they want to make to a contract brewer. And if that becomes popular, then from there, they either open up a tap room where they sell their own stuff, or that gets them into actually buying the equipment and making it themselves. Is that potentially a new business path, rather, that we will see in the craft world?
I don't know. It's a path that happens currently. It happens probably more now than it has in the past.
Not talked about very much, though.
No.
I can't think of...
I think it's
Can
becoming,
you think of any brands? Sorry, go ahead. I keep interrupting you.
I think it's a little. It's becoming a little bit more accepted in the beer space because there was a real big stigma in a negative way on contract brewing. You know, like 8-10 years ago.
Sure, right.
You're like, no, if you can't make your beer on your own, then
what good is it?
You know,
right,
you're not going
to
make it.
Why are you even in the industry or right, pretending to be in the industry? Yeah.
Yeah, but I don't know. I think it's just another industry that is. This is a progression from a bunch of stuff that happened in the past in the craft beer industry, where this unprecedented growth that happened for so many years caused so many advancements in equipment, advancements in the things that you can do in the alcohol space, and also capacity. It started to happen, you know, several years ago, where breweries had capacity. And small breweries needed to get bigger, mm-hmm, and so they would form these partnerships for contract brewing.
Mm-hmm.
And then it also happened where, you know, some small brands contracted. Hop Butcher out of Chicago started as a contract brewery.
Okay. I was gonna ask if you knew of any breweries that kind of went from contract to actually.
Not
doing
only,
it themselves,
not
but then I wasn't aware of that. That's
yeah,
cool.
Not only
That's
did
cool.
Hop Butcher start from a contract brewery selling beer out of the trunk of their car, they wound up getting to the point where they had tanks at different breweries, and then they wound up buying the brewery that they were contracted out of. I mean, they're kind of a big deal out of the Chicagoland area. Nowhere in particular was a contract brewery.
That's very true, yeah. That now they have their own space.
Have their own space.
Now they're somewhere in particular.
Somewhere in particular,
yeah.
Shit, well, Boston
I forgot
Beer
about,
did it
you know,
a
I
bunch of years ago.
Yeah. Okay, yeah, you're right. And I guess I don't really see, I guess they're not distributing anymore, or if it is, it's very limited, but I haven't seen a Nowhere in Particular beer
right
on the shelves in a very long time. So, yeah, I kind of forgot about...
There's not
about them because they were kind of gypsy brewing or whatever. Sure.
Yeah. So I think it's something that will continue, mm-hmm, as whether it's a way for a brewery to scale up without having to put investment into another building,
more
brick and mortar, yeah, or you know, more hardware and equipment.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's going to be an entryway for people who want to get into the business.
Right.
I think it's going to be a way of established businesses with breweries with good practices, mm-hmm, to be able to keep their capacity high and their labor force working.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that all makes sense, yeah.
And it also gives a lot of people a lot of cross categories and sometimes cross-category experience.
They might be able to make a product at a contract facility that they wouldn't be able to make in if they were limited to what a brick-and-mortar space for them could do,
yeah,
potentially. Yeah,
yeah,
yeah.
I think it's a long overdue that the craft beer industry, much in the way like baseball still has a hang up with being so rooted in their tradition, that you know it's okay if someone makes your beer. You know,
yeah,
if the partnership's right, if the people are right, the equipment's right, if it makes financial sense, it's okay if somebody else.
If you can,
you know,
now have that facial hair in baseball, you can contract brew your beer. It's okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If you can bet on... Never mind.
Before I get to the count that, ooh, I had for this episode, do you have any other
one
notes?
Any
other notes about episode 207, Let There Be Booze, for the Weekly Pint?
The drunk line was open and live, and no one called in. And I think that was a good decision on everybody who was participating, because it was late.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
a call-in would have... delayed, impeded, or nixed a lot of the content that we got. And it's worth going and looking, going and watching and,
yes,
listening to the content. So
yes,
good on everybody for not fucking that up.
Yes. Thank you to all of the watchers out there last night. I have two different counts that I combined into the total sip count. Total number of sips. This was the highest number of sips that Gnome has taken on an episode of the Weekly Pint ever.
Which is weird,
ever,
too.
Ever, ever, ever.
Because he had to fucking make the cocktail.
Yeah.
The only thing he has to do when he grabs a beer is he crack
just
it open
it.
And fucking pour it in.
I don't know. I mean, maybe he just has bad beer.
As long as the beer hangs around in his house, you never know. You never know.
He still goes through it faster than Joe and Caroline.
Oh, no, I don't know. I don't know. Depends
don't
on
know
the fridge.
Yeah, which of his 13 fridges is he pulling this one from? So I have, besides the sip count, I have the emoji count because near end,
yeah.
We got some unintentional fireworks shows and thumbs up
emoji
and lasers
count.
And all that kind of stuff. So we had 7 sips. He took 7 sips and finished his cocktail, which
damn.
I think might have been another first for the Weekly Pint, finishing his drink.
Finishing his drink.
He didn't even finish the Oktoberfest cuvée boot on the show. Come on. Come on.
What's that like? 2 liters of fucking beer or
that
something?
That was so much beer.
Oh, God.
Awesome, though. And then the unintentional emoji
count. He
can't
tell me he actually finished that.
There's no way. Well, because it not only finished that, but finished every beer from every can.
Oh, yeah, that didn't happen.
No, he'd be dead.
That did not happen.
He would be dead. Unintentional emoji count, 5.
Very good.
Which is pretty fantastic. So that is a total number of countables, 12.
12.
24 ounces.
24 ounces.
1.5 pints during this show.
Okay.
So
that's plenty
not,
of time for
oh,
one
God,
and a half
yeah.
time, pints.
Absolutely.
Plenty of time.
Absolutely. It was a great show. I'm glad that I stayed up for it. You know me, I go to bed early, and when it's like...
Well, it's because you wake up early.
Well, yeah. Did you need to take a break before we cover the only other show that we have to talk about today?
I think it's only proper if we do that, if we're only going to talk
about
one more show.
All yeah. right. Sounds good to me. So you guys sit tight, and we will be
count
right
backwards
back.
From 100.
100, 99,
not you,
98,
them.
97, 96. Ladies and gentlemen, we have made it
back.
Nothing.
No, it's just...
Nothing, just,
no,
just us.
Just us. Mm.
But you know what? It is actually a
what?
Really... I was trying to tell you what. It's a really gorgeous day out there.
It is.
So I say we talk about the Barstool Bruce guy's perspective, whatever the hell they're calling themselves this week, and do a Dora walk.
Okay.
Because we haven't done one yet this year.
Yeah.
And I'm excited to get back out there and just start walking around Summit Park. And I don't know, maybe we can tell Caroline that we're training for the pig.
Not happening.
Even though we're not really.
Not happening.
Eh,
nope.
Eh, it's fine.
She'll find out.
We'll be fine. Yeah. Anyway, all right, let's talk about Brew Skies Booze News or the Barstool Perspective or the Brew Happy Hour Stools Skies News.
Yeah.
Whatever in the world.
The Happy Stool Skies.
This is the episode that aired March 25th, 2024. Nothing is cheap and the Kroger-Albertson merger will make it worse, a.k.a. the cosplay episode.
Yes.
But before we dive into that, I am still enjoying my Cappy Snacks because I am slow as fuck when it comes to drinking, which, you know what, nothing wrong with that.
Nothing.
But Marco, you have something brand new on the shelves. I don't know that I have ever seen this before. It looks phenomenal. What you drinking?
I'm drinking Imperial Headhunter.
Ooh, never heard of it. Who's it by?
From the Heads of Fat Brewery.
All right. Cool looking logo.
Yeah.
Almost as cool as what you were drinking earlier.
Yeah, almost as cool as the, yeah.
Almost as cool. I don't know which one I like more. Now, you know what they need?
What?
They should pull out or make or just throw this out into the universe here. A wet hopped version of this IPA. Yeah.
That'd be amazing. Yeah,
that would be awesome.
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 Even more awesome if our podcast host, Higher Gravity Summit Park, would have some ready for us.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe by next week's episode.
Maybe.
We'll see.
Yeah.
First, we have to contact Fatheads and say, hey, we got a great idea for a beer.
Mm-hmm.
And then they have to make that beer and get it packaged and canned and shipped down here within a week.
Yeah.
It's doable, right?
Yeah. Kvike East, you could do it.
Absolutely. Absolutely. All right, moving on to this episode of Bruce Guy's Booze News Barstool Perspective. Is Fireball the most disgusting shot you've ever had? They revisited that at the end of the episode, which they actually almost forgot about.
They did almost forget about.
Yes. Luckily, we have Mike to keep this show on track.
Oof.
Yes. Let's talk about what they talked about in this under 22-minute episode.
Okay.
We'll see if we can make our recap under 22 minutes. We're at...
Let's hope.
Our recording time with break is... We're at an hour. So if we can wrap this up in before an hour 23, golden.
Golden.
We have cracked the code to podcastery.
24 karat in the air.
All right. Would you pay $62,000 for an empty beer can?
There's a lot.
It's a damn good beer can.
Well, I think there's a lot of things, you know, in if you had the ability to pay $62,000 for a beer can.
For anything, yeah.
You know, would you? I can tell you that I would not. There's not a reality that I could dream about living in where I'd pay $62,000 for a beer can. Not at all. Now, a beer, possibly.
Okay.
A beer can? No.
Well, that goes against Mike's financial advice for this week. He says, invest heavily in empty beer cans.
Okay,
they are collectible. They can only increase in value over time.
I don't know if that's true.
Especially if you get the conical top cans.
Yeah.
It's a surefire way to have a nest egg by the time you hit retirement years or, you know, as you're aging. And then give it 10, 15 years, and then you can sell it at a massive profit. That is what he was preaching this week.
Yeah.
So if you are looking for a way to, it's not making a quick buck, but if you have 62 grand to toss out there, get an extremely rare collectible beer can, empty, no actual beer.
I also
hold on to it for a couple years and then resell it for, got at least $5.
I also love the fact that, as far as financial advice, what they're able to do is they're able to make a book, and Julia has a link where you can pre-order
it.
The book.
Yep.
Using Gnome's affiliate link.
Absolutely. Gnome gets
Tankton,
2 cents.
Yep. Tankton, Cincinnati, which is where Brett and Mike took stories that other people told and then just put them in the print form.
Yep.
They were able to source out essentially a book. And that's
good idea.
A great idea.
Yeah.
You know, have other people write your book for you.
There you go. Tell me a story. I'll write it down. I'll publish it, and I will get the money for the story that you told.
Yeah.
Sounds perfect.
Brilliant.
I love it. Going back to the can talk, we did get some can history, which I thought was really cool.
Yeah.
Like, not being facetious about that at all.
Right.
Didn't know about, like, why the beer cans went from conical tops to, like, the current flat tops that we have today, but makes perfect sense.
Absolute sense.
But never really thought about it or looked into it. I just was like, I don't know, someone just decided they liked it better? I don't know, but that was completely inaccurate.
Right.
They moved into wine news.
Yeah.
And the big question, are sommeliers geniuses?
Well, if you ask a sommelier, of course.
Fair. Very fair.
Right.
Articulation equals recognition was what I took away from this, I'll call it a segment of this episode. The more you can articulate flavors and sense and, you know, the things that you recognize, the easier it starts to become for you to pick those things out in different beverages and foods as you're consuming them.
Of course.
Yeah.
Makes complete sense.
But doesn't that potentially work in the opposite where, because your brain is a really weird thing. Your brain can make up memories. Your brain can, I don't know, just completely fuck things up for no reason whatsoever.
Yeah.
Couldn't you say, like, if I'm smelling an orange, and somehow every time I smell that orange, I tell myself this is a banana, you know, this smells like banana or some very different scent. Eventually, if I smell something with orange in it, will my first thought be, oh, that's banana, and then I'll be second guessing myself? Like, wait a second.
No, you're not second guessing yourself. Yeah. You trained yourself.
Your brain to do that. Yeah.
To do that. And that's the way a lot of these smell sensory trainings go. You get those old old black film tubes,
mm-hmm.
and
you
put herbs in there, or you put chocolate, or you put different things in there, and then on the lid, it's written what it is, and you just train yourself to know that this is that smell. And so, you know, you can swear when you start that this smell is ruby red grapefruit, and by the time you go through the sensory training, you're like, nope, that's rutabaga or whatever.
Whatever, right.
Whatever.
Random.
It could be, yeah. But yeah, you can absolutely do that.
Very cool.
At least that's my opinion.
Science.
And if you don't agree, look it up.
Just at Marco if you don't agree.
You could.
Just at him.
You could.
Yeah. Buffalo Trace and Making Fireball. Sort of, kind of.
That was really interesting.
That was very interesting.
Makes perfect sense.
When they first said that, you know, Buffalo Trace's biggest selling product, I forget exactly how they worded it. They're like, you know, it's Fireball. I went, the fuck are they smoking this time?
Right.
And then as they explained it, I'm like, oh, crap. Yeah, that overarching company and where they're doing things and how they're doing things. I'm like, oh, shit. Yeah, that's okay. Now it makes
a lot of sense, doesn't it?
But it was one of those, wait, what? You know, it took my, again, talking about, you know, your brain and trying to, you know, piece things together. It took a second for that to click, like, oh, I see how they're saying this.
Well, let's take it,
how they present it.
Well, let's take it to another business, and we're not going to actually go through what Brett and Mike said, but let's do another.
Because we want you to watch this episode.
Let's do another analogy. Let's pretend you own a chicken processing factory.
Mm-hmm.
A plant.
Yeah.
And you need to make sure that your chicken breasts and your chicken thighs are pristine. What do you do with the rest of the chicken? Well, what you do with the rest of the chicken is you mill it into these chicken bites, chicken,
sure.
Chicken nuggets, boneless wings, whatever you want to call them.
Sure.
That's essentially all that Buffalo Trace is doing.
Right.
You know, probably with a lot less labor.
Probably, yeah. This stuff didn't make the cut, so let's just throw a shit ton of cinnamon in it, and there you go.
Right.
Yeah. Which, when I toured Buffalo Trace years ago, I didn't smell a damn bit of cinnamon while I was up there. Down there, over there.
Did you?
I don't know, direction.
Was it a one day trip? Did you drive there and back, or did you stay somewhere?
Yeah, it was a one day trip. But man, they were like the smell of that mash was hanging over the entire.
Oh, that's amazing.
Oh my god, it was. I'm like, I need a candle of this smell. And Josh wasn't as fond of it as I was.
Really?
Just the difference in people's opinion. Yeah. He was just like, it's not bad, but I don't. I'm not as enamored with the scent as you are. But man, I just.
You can smell
that. As soon as we parked, like even before. Driving down to the lot, I'm like, oh my god, this place smells glorious.
Yeah, you can smell that sometimes depending on when you're walking down on Main Street there in Gatlinburg.
Yeah, when the distilleries and stuff are doing all their stuff.
Doing the stuff.
Yeah, so freaking cool. I need to get back down there. Maybe actually do the Bourbon Trail at some point. Let's see. They moved into the main part of what this episode's subject line was. Walmart is destroying the country, especially the Walmart in Dayton. Don't go there.
Oh, that Walmart.
Until they bring Joey back. Woo-hoo. It's like an apocalypse. It's, I mean.
You got to park near the door in the light.
Yes. Grocery stores kind of control craft beer, not the customers. And
yeah.
That's more talking about how, in the example of Kroger specifically, I'm assuming it's just craft breweries or local breweries. I'm not sure exactly how it is, but they have one day to get even the chance to talk to Kroger about why they should have your beer on their shelves. And I don't know how that's going to change when they axe the number of SKUs that they're going to be carrying.
Yeah,
like, will they even...
They slice the shit out of the number of SKUs that they're carrying.
Right, and so that takes these small businesses and these local businesses that were hopefully making a small margin off of what was on Kroger's shelves away. That takes that brand acknowledgement. There may be a brewery that people might not have realized existed until they saw a can of theirs on the shelf and went, oh, okay, this is local. Let me try it. This is good. Now I want to go to the brewery. Now I want to support them more. That not even the income from that, but that visibility is now incredibly decreased.
Yeah. Yeah, it was a bloodbath. So I'm just going to say that, you know, those of you that care about craft beer and the businesses, the craft beer businesses, go and support those businesses. Buy your packaged beer from them.
Mm-hmm.
But also support the small bottle shops and you know, the to-go places.
Mm-hmm.
That stock your favorite craft beers. You know, you go to Kroger, and it's so weird depending on the Kroger itself, right? That's not strange, and that's not by chance that some grocery stores have a wider selection than other grocery stores.
Mm-hmm.
I used to live next to a grocery store at one point that had an amazing craft beer selection. I live next to a grocery store now that has a terrible craft beer selection. However, it's right across the street from my house, so what do I end up doing? I end up buying the same beer all the time when I'm at that Kroger. It's a good beer, and it's a local company, and I support local. But if I lived next to the other Kroger that had a wider selection of craft beer, I'd have a more diverse selection opportunity.
You'd be able to support more local breweries because you could rotate through the places that you're getting your beer from. Yeah.
Yeah. And so what's going to happen is you're going to just have fewer choices.
Yeah.
And so to get more choices, you have to go to a place that's a specialty shop that has more choices, which is what we used to do, you know, 6, 8, 10 years ago, is go to a specialty shop.
Right.
Breweries would release in collaboration with these specialty shops. You know, you could get our whatever, and it's also going to be at X liquor store or bottle shop or, you know, gigantic, you know, boutique grocery store.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
And now that really doesn't happen all that much. It is come and get it from our place.
Mm-hmm.
And what we're going to do is we're going to send out in distro, we're going to send out variants in distro or, you know, whatever it may be. I would just ask the craft breweries, the small businesses that work with craft breweries to continue to build their relationships. And as Kroger shrinks their craft beer offerings and their offerings from those local businesses, that they just continue to ramp up and lean into the fact that these small places that care about what you care about are the places that you should be at.
Yeah, I agree. Kind of that double-edged sword about going somewhere else. Kroger's cutting their SKUs of craft beer. So the option is show them that we don't like that and that we disagree with their decision to do that by buying your beer somewhere else. Potentially, that means that all Kroger sees is, well, see, people didn't want to buy their craft beer from us anyway, so why should we carry it?
Mm-hmm.
I can see that being kind of that that unintentional, air quote, positive side effect for them. Well, see, people didn't want to buy it here anyway, so we're saving money on whatever.
Well, they're just giving us the middle finger in the sense that they're saying, like, they're going to buy what we carry and it doesn't fucking matter.
Right, exactly. And then the comment that ties back into this episode is, like you said, you used to live by one Kroger which had this, another Kroger that had, you know, this type of selection. Sometimes, depending on where you live, whatever your situation is, you don't have these options. You have a place that you can go, and you're just kind of at the mercy of what they sell, because maybe it is a struggle for whatever reason to go farther away or to try to go to either these specialty shops or even another bigger type box store that you know still has that craft beer that still is supporting local, selling local. It sucks, and the greed from a lot of these big corporations is out of control.
Now, I mean, that kind of correlates to something else I listened to just today, another podcast, and they're stating that the research study was done, and annually they put out the list of the happiest countries or the ones with the least amount of stress. I'm not going to go too deep into it, but basically I'm going to say the United States of America has slipped out of the top 20.
Not surprised.
Of the top 20. We are 25. And, you know, everyone can determine how they decide what their definition of happy is.
Sure.
Or less stress.
Sure.
But, yeah.
Back to the episode. You can save baseball by making it cheap again.
I don't necessarily disagree with that. Yeah. You know, when you have to go to a hustling, you know, bustling downtown space, when you have to pay $20 to $40 to park, when you have to get a ticket, even on the cheap end, you can get a ticket, I don't know, $20 or whatever, to just sit in some shitty-ass seat.
Yeah.
And then, you know, anything for an experience. It used to be, you know, the old-timey, the
dollar
the,
hot dogs.
The 1950s sort of view of, yeah. of baseball is you'd go and you get a, you know, you get a hot dog and you get a drink and you get a popcorn or whatever or a Cracker Jack. It's just, it's too expensive.
Right.
It's too right. expensive. A captive situation where they know if you want something to drink, you're going to pay for it. If you want something to eat, you're going to pay for it.
Sure.
And it's unfortunate reality that is something that used to be called America's pastime is something that
isn't accessible to Americans anymore.
It's not accessible.
Or, you know, yeah.
It's they want
just
the general
what it
they
is,
want the
know?
General public to show up and support the teams, but what they really want are the giant corporations to buy up
all the tickets,
huge
and do, yeah.
amounts of tickets and sponsorships.
Right. Agreed. Agreed. Two other notes that I have on this episode, and then I have the sip count for Brett and Mike. You can vote, but only if you're smart.
I totally agree with this.
I absolutely do.
An uninformed vote is a dangerous vote.
I would agree with that as well. Yes. And you know, even if you think you have an educated vote, if it doesn't match my vote, well, you're just wrong. No.
I
do not mean that seriously. Like, I mean, it's...
Yeah, so much a joke.
Right. I mean, seriously, make sure that regardless of if you vote the way that I vote the way that Marco votes, vote the way that whoever votes... Make sure you know why you're voting for who and what you're voting for. Like, just do some research and understand.
It's important.
Very important.
And if that vote matches the way that you feel on, you know, your most important categories, then go for it.
Absolutely.
Look, the bottom line is that in any sort of election, we're not going to tick every box.
Right.
You know, it's just if you're really honest with yourself, that's not the case.
Right.
However, the most important half. The most important top quarter of what you believe in is actually what is that platform's about.
Agreed.
So,
yeah,
just, you know, make sure you feel that way when you cast your vote.
Yeah.
You know, if you leave it up to a coin flip and all you care is, you know, you care only enough to wear.
I just want the sticker. Who cares what happens? Well, you know, don't go.
You know what? Just don't.
Stay home. Yeah.
Don't. Just don't.
Did you agree with the most disgusting shot that either of them could think of?
When they put it in the context, yes.
Agreed.
Yeah.
Yeah. Did you have any other disgusting shots to throw out
there?
They
actually talked about a couple of the top ones I was thinking about.
Yeah, same.
So I was right in agreement there.
All right.
And we were all in the alcohol space in one way or another. So.
Yeah, true that. Sip count, and we are at 23 minutes. So our recap, depending on what the public hears versus the Patreon members here.
Well, true.
Our recap was longer than the episode.
Way to go,
it's
us.
It's the way that we do things around here. In this episode of Bruce Guy's Brews News, Mike took 6 sips. Brett took 29 sips.
Wow.
And it seemed like he was feeling a little under the weather. So Brett. I'm sorry. Good. Yeah, you both look the same. You know, you both are whatever.
Mirror images.
Mirror images in one another. Brett, I hope you're feeling better.
Yeah, same.
Brett took 29 sips of his magical elixir concoction in his fantastic green mason jar.
Green mason jar, yeah.
That means that they had a total of 35 sips.
Hell yeah.
That's 70 ounces.
Yeah.
Of whatever beverage you choose to drink in this 22-minute episode, which means you're drinking 4.375 pints.
Man, I'd be pressed.
You would be...
I don't know. I honestly, that's kind of...
I cannot.
I don't think I could.
No.
Well...
No. Even if it was like water, like I would be floating away before the episode ended. Like it, I don't know. I don't think I could do
that's
it.
That's a lot.
It's a lot. That is a lot.
In that short period of time.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Well, that covers all of our episodes.
Are we done?
We're done.
Oh, shit.
And it only took us an hour and a half.
Okay.
For 2.5 podcasts.
Okay.
Yeah, you know, we have a way of doing things.
That's right.
Did you have any other notes on anything before we wrap this up? And go take a Doral walk to enjoy this weather.
That'll be awesome. Do I have anything else? No, I mean, you're going to talk about the other stuff we do and how to follow us and how to communicate with us. True. I just want to remind everybody, you know, just what I said a few minutes ago is like, go and support the places that you want to see around.
Yes.
That's the most important thing.
At those places as much as possible, yes.
Yes.
All right. Well, if you like what we did tonight, tell a friend, tell a neighbor, tell a family member. Send us money, too. Yeah, like, review, subscribe, share, do all of that good stuff. At us on social media, we are at Truth Beer Pod. Our website is truthbeerpod.com. There are links to absolutely everything, including our email address for how to send us stuff, links to one-time donations if you want to send us money, and more importantly, a link to our Patreon page, which is how you get unedited episodes of all of the chaos that goes on in our normal episode or recording sessions, whatever in the world they're called, because I don't know anymore. Christine, hell fucking yes. Thank you for our newest Patreon subscriber.
Thank you.
Absolutely love it. When you visit us from Texas, you need to come to Higher Gravity Summit Park, or we can figure out meeting up somewhere because we want to thank you in person. Buy you a beer from Cincinnati, since it's probably been a while.
Been a while.
Since you've had any good beer, because I don't think Texas has anything good, do they? In our context, we're just going to say no.
It's been a long time since I've been to Texas. Matter of fact, I'm due a trip. I was in there.
Yeah,
in 2019.
You're right.
And I there in 2019, I also went into a craft beer bar that was inside of an old elementary school. That was owned by somebody who lived in Northern Kentucky and had drank beer at many of the craft breweries in the Cincinnati area, and the one
that's
brewed
crazy.
At.
That's crazy.
So
that's awesome.
They do get good beer in Texas. I don't know if good beer is brewed in Texas.
God, but they get some good beer in Texas.
Jester King's in Texas.
That's true. They are very good. So, Christine, thank you so incredibly much. We really, really appreciate your support. And with that being said, just follow us. Go to truthbeerpod.com. Look us up on social media. And, Marco, what are you going to be doing next Tuesday?
Julia, let's do this again. More than likely here.
Sounds great. I will.
Cheers.
See you there. Cheers.